Okay, our Bible passage for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 17, beginning with the first verse, and it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." All right, so how many of you have ever heard somebody say before, "This is like heaven on earth"? Maybe when they vacationed in Hawaii, they might have said that. I may or may not have said that when I went to Lambeau Field for the first time. But how many of you remember the movie Field of Dreams? Does anybody remember that movie, or am I dating myself? From the 90s. So the movie took place in Iowa. And do you remember the line in there where the one guy is like, "Is this heaven?" "No, it's Iowa." Well, I'll tell you, the people of Iowa really took with that and ran with it. There were bumper stickers, there were shirts, there were sweatshirts, there was everywhere you looked, you saw, "Is this heaven?" "No, it's Iowa." Well, you can agree with that or not. But what we have here today is a literal event of heaven meeting earth. And we've been talking about this with all these mountains so far, and how on all of these mountains, God is revealing himself to his people, and now you have it happening again in a very big way. And so the first bullet point on your sheet, the next mountain on our journey is either Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor. This is one of most of the events, they're sure of which mountains they happen on, but with this one, they're not exactly sure. It's one of these two mountains, and the mountain you see right here, this is Mount Tabor. And this is closer to Galilee and the Sea of Galilee. And the other one is Mount Hermon, which is this one, which is further north of the Sea of Galilee. It's actually quite a ways away from where Mount Tabor was, because if you look at the map here, the lower one there is Mount Tabor, and the higher one is Mount Hermon. And smack dab in the middle is kind of where Jesus and his disciples were. And so when you see, and after 6 days, they either went south or they went north. We're just not sure. It's one of those mountains. And it's interesting because Mount Hermon is actually 8,000 feet taller than Mount Tabor is. But anyway, it's one of those two mountains where Jesus took three of his disciples, his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John, up this mountain. And by now, you should be familiar with the fact that whenever a mountain appears in the Bible, you know something big is going to happen. So looking at the text I just read you, there are 4 main points I want to show you. The first one is Jesus was transfigured. So because we're not sure of the mountain, maybe you've heard this before. We call this mountain, by the way, the Mount of Transfiguration. Have you heard that before? It's a big word. And the next slide here, this is the word in the original Greek that is translated. And I only show this to you so I can sound this out for you and you'll understand what transfiguration means. It's metamorphothe. What does that sound like? Metamorphothe. They would say it a lot quicker than I just did. But it's metamorphosis. So literally, transfiguration means to change into something completely different. And this is what Jesus did. And you know, whenever I hear this word transfiguration or I hear the Mount of Transfiguration, I always go back and remember one of my favorite childhood toys. You know what I'm talking about? More than meets the eye. Does anybody help me out? Transformers! I still have Optimus Prime in my house, actually. But this is kind of what they do, you know, the transformer changes from a vehicle or something into a robot. And Jesus literally transfigured before his disciples. You know, this is one of those events in the Bible that we can take for granted because we've heard it read before, we've read it before, we've talked about it before, you've heard somebody else talk about it before, and we can miss the amazingness of what just happened. We can say this actually for a lot of these mountain events that we read and we hear about all the time that we just take for granted and we miss how amazing our God really is. Jesus literally went from looking like a human, like you and I, and transfigured into something different. And that something different was his divine nature. He was true God, showing Peter, James, and John that he was true God. And this here on the screen is an actual picture taken of the event. Can you believe that? So not only does Jesus transfigure before the three disciples, that's not it. That would be amazing in itself. But two guys appear with him. Moses and Elijah appear with him and start talking to Jesus. Now, Moses and Elijah, as you remember, were two people we've talked about on these mountain events. So why are Moses and Elijah the ones that come and talk with Jesus? Well, we know Moses, if you remember from the mountain event on Mount Sinai, God came to him in a burning bush, calling him to be the leader for his people, the Israelites, to get them out of Egypt. They were in slavery. And then he comes to Mount Sinai again, and God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. And as you can see in the picture, Moses is carrying the Ten Commandments. I wonder if he's always carrying the Ten Commandments. Like, when we go to heaven and see him, is he going to be carrying the Ten Commandments? Because every picture, he seems to be carrying the Ten Commandments. So, another interesting thing here, Elijah. If you remember, Elijah is the one that got to do the amazing challenge with the prophets of Baal. But that was on Mount Carmel. Later on, when Elijah was on the run from Jezebel, he took off, he was on the run, and he came to Mount Sinai. He was hiding in a cave, and God came and revealed himself to Elijah. These two guys are the only two guys that had a conversation on Mount Sinai, the mountain of our Lord, with God himself. And God showed himself to both of them. Also, Moses is the great lawgiver. He's the great mediator between his people and God. And Elijah represents the prophets of the Old Testament. So together you have the law and the prophets. And again, we see the amazing crimson thread tying everything together when we talk about these mountains. Jesus, after he rises from the dead, says the words, "Everything you read about in the law and the prophets were about me, and I fulfilled them." So you have the two guys representing all of the stuff before, and Jesus, the one who is going to fulfill everything that is in the law and the prophets. Again and again, we see this crimson thread tying everything together on these mountains. So that's the first thing that jumped out to me from this lesson. And the second thing is this. And you got to love Peter. And on your sheet here, I have Peter got caught up in this mountaintop experience. So I want you to imagine for a minute that you're Peter, James, or John, and you're standing in their sandals on this mountain. You've come up this mountain with Jesus, and then you see Jesus turn into a bright light like the sun. He showed like the sun, Scripture tells us. And then two guys that you've read a lot about and heard a lot about just appear with Jesus, and they start talking. And now I want you to imagine yourself that you're Peter, and you think this is the time for you to speak. And he says this. It's almost comical. "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." You know, maybe we can identify a little bit with Peter here. And the question that comes to my mind, what was Peter thinking? He wants to make some tents for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus so they can stay there. Because he's getting a taste of what? He is getting a taste of heaven on earth. He doesn't want to leave. He wants to stay there forever. So I think maybe we can identify a little bit with Peter. Peter wanted to hold on to that. But the event, this whole event, was not about him. Have you ever spoke before thinking? Or know somebody who sticks their foot in their mouth a lot? Okay, I got a firm yes. This is Peter. Peter, this isn't the only time Peter spoke up really before thinking. Not long before this, Peter rebuked Jesus, telling him that he will not allow him to go, you know, and be killed and raised in 3 days. And Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." You don't want Jesus to call you Satan. But those were one of those cases where Peter just jumps in and speaks. And so then it got me to thinking, how often do you and I get caught up in life and miss the point of what is really going on? Because that's what happened with Peter here. He was caught up. He wanted to stay there because he was getting a taste of heaven, and he missed the point of what was happening. Jesus, they've only really seen him as true man, and now they're seeing him as true God. You know, we get caught up a lot in the busyness of our lives, and we miss the point of what's going on. We get busy keeping up with the Joneses, and we miss the point of what is going on. It may be easy right now. We get caught up in the year 2020, which has been crazy, and we really miss what's going on, because Jesus is right there always. Because if you look at the text, after Peter interrupts the proceedings, the Father comes in, and that's the next point on your sheet. The Father speaks. And he comes in and he says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. How hard is that sometimes? You see, it wasn't what was needed. It wasn't the point for them to stay on this mountain. Peter missed the point. The point was, Jesus was showing his true God. And after this event, by the way, he sets his face like flint to Jerusalem as they head to Jerusalem, where he is going to be beaten, crucified, and laid in a tomb on our behalf. And we need this reminder from the Father, just like Peter did. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. And the last thing that jumped out to me in this text, this famous Mount of Transfiguration text, is the last verse I read to you. Jesus comes and comforts. Did you notice this? after all the razzle-dazzle of the transfiguration, the bright sun that Jesus basically turned into, the Moses and Elijah, the heroes of the Old Testament, just appearing, after all of that, because after the Father spoke, Peter, James, and John immediately went down to the ground. Faces in the ground because they were scared. They were confronted with their sin in the presence of a holy God. And they were scared. But what do they notice when everything else is gone? Who's still there? Let me read it to you again. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. You know, that is how much Jesus loves and cares for each of us. When we are down and out with our faces buried in the ground, Jesus comes and comforts us. When tragedy strikes, Jesus comes to you and I and comforts. When you find that your faith is weak and don't feel like you can go on, Jesus comes and comforts you. When you're plagued by the sin in your life, Jesus comes and comforts you, bringing you grace, mercy, and peace. And not only that, he comes and comforts you, and then he takes all of your sins and my sins. And as he now makes his trek for Jerusalem, carries them all to that cross on that famous mountain, which we are going to be talking about in a couple weeks, and then he died for them. He sacrificed himself for each and every one of us. And that is how amazing our Savior really is. You know, the whole heaven on earth thing, we do get to taste heaven on earth when Jesus comes and comforts us. And for those of us who will be communing in a little bit, we get to literally taste heaven on earth as we get to partake of Jesus' body and blood. And we thank God for that. And since we're talking about Jesus, true God and true man, that's why I inserted the Nicene Creed for us to say today. So I invite you to stand up and let's confess our faith in this God who comes to us and comforts us whenever we are alone, whenever we are going through anything. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I also believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.